Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey guys, welcome into episode 49 of Coffee and Shell, and this is a big one. So we have an extremely special guest. You can see on the screen if you're watching from Sportsnet, Jeff Merrick. We had a fantastic interview with him, so we're going to get to that very quickly. But first, as we always do, I'm joined by my two co-hosts, Kesso and Padre. We'll start with you, Kesso. How you been over the last few days? And it's almost NHL 23 season, buddy.
Dude, I'm doing great. Our podcast is like legitimate now, right?
It's
so we have Gamer Saloon at the top. Mm-hmm. We have like a white whale of a guest. Yep. So it's kind of crazy. So it's like it's not just two dudes recording things about NHL 22. We have the e-bug from the Blues, you know, obviously been a longtime friend. We have a sponsor. We have Jeff Merrick. So it's going good.
It is wild. How are you doing, Padre?
I'm good. Just, you know, running on fumes with the sleep, but you know, with the baby and everything, but it's been great. Like I've been looking forward to this episode for a long time. I would say you and myself are very big Jeff Mayer fans. It's kind of funny. We were talking about this earlier. It's like we're going to get players on this podcast. And most people are like, oh, I love the players. Like I'm a bigger fan of the media guys, yeah, the guys, that, guys. I don't know why, like, cause I'm a hockey nerd. So it's like, you know, these guys that break down the trades and the signings, I've always just loved that stuff. And he's such a good dude. I think all you guys that are listening to this are going to absolutely love this.
Nope, absolutely. Before we get into that, let's talk quickly about some things. Preseason, it is almost done. It's almost wrapped up. No huge injuries, other than maybe, I guess, the Tavares one for a little while. But no huge devastating injuries so far, I don't believe. So that's pretty good. And my Sharks overseas right now in Prague, about to get the season start. Here's the one thing I can't stand. The season starts technically with my Sharks in Nashville overseas, which is fine. Playing it overseas went up. I hate how there's preseason games after it. You know, like that's it brutal. It doesn't feel like the official start of the season. So I don't know. That always bothers me. They are going to have a hard time scoring. The Sharks just played. I believe the German team over there, and it is going to be tough for my Sharks. But hey, I'm okay if they lose 3-2 every single game and go 0-82. I want Connor Bedard. So it's almost time. Also, the one thing I noticed, I think Kesso and me were talking about this earlier.
I'm glad you brought this up.
Yeah, the schedule. If you guys go and look, I could have sworn it either every season started with Leafs in Ottawa, just them on one night, or Leafs in Montreal. I don't remember, but I thought it was I know it was the Leafs and somebody. And then there was a day of just every team playing. If you go and look, it's like, I believe the first non-Sharks Nashville game that's overseas, it's like, I believe, Tampa Bay and the Rangers, and then one other game on one night, mm-hmm. and then it's six more the next night, then 10 on the Saturday. There isn't a huge one, and I'm not going to lie, I hate that. I think all teams should play on the Saturday or whatever day it is, because that's the start of the season. I don't know if you guys agree or...
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, you see the NFL do it, like, yeah, it's like plays, and it's like the NHL. And I thought they used to do this. Same. Like, I could have sworn they used to.
I never noticed. When did it change? Year. I never noticed until just.
We need a red zone channel for the NHL. I
how
need
do you
like
do
a,
that though.
Yeah,
just
is
goals.
It like special.
Just break in for goals. I would love a goal channel, but
I
it's
so it would have to be on a delay, right?
Yeah, well, hockey's I mean, not big enough. Is. Red zone's on delay too, but hockey's just not big enough to like. I feel like you know. Support just a channel that, just for goals.
I wonder if that's a gambling thing. Football has to be the biggest gambled sport, and I wonder if like as hockey, you know, as sports betting gets more and more powerful, that it's already that maybe like that would be the case. But I think you know I would love that if it just showed flip through anytime there's a goal on any game, and then if not, you just leave. A team's on a power play, bang! That is your fill in. Right. But yeah, that's actually interesting. I would love to see that. But yeah,
the thing that's difficult with that is like like hockey, it's always like Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday.
Yeah,
right? But then there's always those weird days during the season where it's like, oh, there's only like four games tonight. Like, is it worth it to have like a,
that's true.
I don't know what you would call
good
it.
Point.
I would love to find out anyone that is from Boston in my, in this, you know, that listens to us. Please let me know why you guys have like the early bird special every Sunday and you guys have games at like noon or one on every, like it's like every weekend it's always the Bruins, and the reason why I notice it so much is because it's an automatic L for the Sharks or basically any West Coastie, because like I look at it like these guys, it's 9 o'clock for them and I'm like, oh, they're gonna play the Bruins, like that's it, just they're gonna get shelled here because of that, not only because they're bad, but like I don't know what it is, it's they're so early every weekend. Same with Chicago too. I don't know if that's a original six thing or if there's some history behind that. We should ask Jeff this, but maybe we'll bring it up next time. So, all right, before we get into the interview, because I am so fired up for you guys to listen to this, we're going to give our award predictions, and then we'll hop over to the interview. So we'll fly through these. Art Ross, Kesso?
McDavid.
Yeah, and McDavid. Yeah, it's okay. McDavid across the board. I really don't see, you know, obviously there's some other potential. I mean, Draisaitl, probably, but outside of that, I just don't think anyone, maybe Matthews, but I don't know. I don't think that he has the assist to pile up that. The Hart Trophy, what did you guys have?
McDavid.
I had Shesterkin. I think that, I don't know. I think he should have won it this year, to be honest with you. But again, we'll be talking about this in a little bit later, but man, the Rangers were just, they got dragged. And, you know, he looks like he is the next unbelievable goaltender. Rocket Richard, we all had Matthews. Yeah. I think that low-key Kaprizov or someone, like, I don't know. I don't know why Kaprizov, because I feel like he's still a playmaker a little bit, but, like,
it's because that Russian name, that's what's making
that's
me
it.
Do that.
It's it. Yeah. You just automatically assume Russian winger has to be in line for the, you know, a couple of seasons as a Art Ross winner or a Rocket Richard winner. The Makar Trophy. It is Makar's until it's not, you know. Selke, I had Barkov.
I want to see Bergeron win it again. I wonder if some point Crosby's gonna get like just one of those respect ones too. But Bergeron or Barkov?
Yeah, I was wondering about like Elias Lindholm, because of last year. He was really coming hard last year, and there was a lot of talk about him. But yeah, I mean, if it's Bergeron's last year, which we've been saying that for, I guess, like 2 years now, I think Bergeron will probably win it again.
Yeah, more than likely, especially because like that seems to be like a, you know,
like a tribute.
Yeah, exactly. He's won it so much. So.
He deserves it, but it definitely is. Yeah.
The Vezina. I had Shesterkin. I believe you did too.
I did too.
You talked yourself out of Saros. You talked yourself out of Saros.
Well, I just said like my hot take with my heart. I would love it to be Saros. I'm a little goalie myself, so watching a guy like that, great set of pads too. Love the all yellows.
Dude, what did you think of Hellberg's pads? And then they got rid of them.
They were sick, but I mean, I feel like you know you're not going to play for the Kraken probably anyway. So it's their goaltending depth is. I mean, think about it. They have. Martin Jones is their backup to Grubauer, and then in Drieger's still but Drieger's still there too, but he's hurt.
Yeah.
But Drieger's hurt, so that's why they got Jones. And I think Jones, will be the backup for Grubauer, obviously. But it's like that Hellberg was like fourth on the depth chart if you think about it.
Jones
but
was
very good, very nice pats.
Jones is absolutely incredible for the Sharks during a few of the playoff runs, and I will always be thankful for what he did for the team. He is the perfect Bedard goaltender though. Like, I'm stunned that Chicago hasn't gone out and gotten Martin Jones. And if he's waived, I wouldn't be stunned if Chicago claims him. I believe you had Vazzy.
I did. So I think Shesterkin's probably going to be the best goalie for a while. I'm low on the Rangers. I like Vasilevsky, so I'm going to go there.
I think Vazzy's got one more year, maybe. And then the team maybe takes a... I don't know. You can't ever count Tampa out. They're so good. Calder, you guys had Power. I had Beniers. This is like... I guess this kind of is just kind of chalk. You know, there's a few other options, maybe. I think that when it comes to the Calder, opportunity is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. Beniers is going to be the first-line center for the Kraken. So if you get 20 minutes a night, you're automatically... And then, obviously, Owen Power. But, you know, that plus-minus is going to be absolutely brutal. So I don't know if he's going to have enough points to make up for that. Lastly, the Jack Adams. I had Dean Evason, the Minnesota Wild head coach, because I feel like... If the Wild make the playoffs with $14 million in dead cap, you know, I think that's pretty impressive. What about you guys? Any ideas?
I mean, I mentioned this to Jeff. I hate the award. It's always it's terribly done. Give it to Mike Sullivan. He's been a great coach for a while.
He is a great coach. I'm going to go with Bruce Cassidy out in Vegas. I know he wasn't like loved in Boston at the end of his tenure, but I feel like a lot of people are down on Vegas. I think they're going to have a good team. As you guys heard weeks ago, my predictions, I think they're going to win the Pacific. But like that team, I have a feeling they're going to be good. And people are going to be like, wow, where'd they come from all of a sudden? I thought they were supposed to be terrible. And Jack Eichel's actually a good hockey player. You know, people act like they're, you know, he's so bad and stuff. So I'm going to go with Bruce Cassidy in Vegas just on a rebound year. Let's say that.
Okay. All right. That's enough of us. This was actually such a fun interview, guys. So let us know what you think in the comment section down below. We can't thank Jeff enough for coming on and spending some time talking hockey and predictions with us. We got to give a shout out to our sponsor, Gamer Saloon. They are phenomenal. And if you are looking to get better at NHL or any sports video game, or even really like any video game, Gamer Saloon is where you've got to do it. If money games is, if you're already good at the game and you want to test it, playing a money game will get that adrenaline flying. And Gamer Saloon is where you got to do it. So gamersaloon.com, make sure you check them out. All right, let's get into the interview. All right, guys. So we are super pleased to welcome in our guest, co-host of 32 Thoughts, the podcast, and from Sportsnet, a man, Jeff Merrick. Jeff, thank you again for jumping on and talking awards and you know, a lot of history, I feel like we're going to talk about.
Probably. And I want to thank you for wearing your finest Niagara Ice Dogs baseball hat, making me feel right at home with some OHL love. I appreciate that.
I told the guys, I'm like, man, I know he's a big major junior guy. The guy got to talk about
it. Did you put that on for me coming on?
No, like, I was wearing this. I'm a big dogs fan.
I'm that much of a cliche. This idiot likes the OHL. I don't know. I got an Ice Dogs hat somewhere in the back. Throw that on. I might make him feel at home.
Speaking of the dogs, former Ice Dog Jason Robertson still remains unsigned. I want to start with this because news tonight. We're recording this on Tuesday, October 4th. Matthew Barzal signs for just over $9 million. Yep. Do you think that this has more impact on the negotiations with Jason Robertson, or do you think that this is just, you know, kind of ignored and they're still in their own like ecosystem?
I don't know as much. I'm not so sure if Matthew Barzal's contract has an effect on it. I'll tell you what, and this is sending a chill up a lot of GM spines. I think the Tim Stützle deal has a lot to do with it. I think the Jordan Kyrou deal has a lot to do with it. I think you can make the argument the Tage Thompson deal has a lot to do with it as well. I think Jason Robertson's camp, and he's a CAA guy represented by Pat Brisson, I think he's looking at all these deals and saying, hang on a second here. Does anybody have a number 42 beside their name? Because I do. I scored 42 goals last season, and I should be compensated as such. So I'm pretty sure that, because this is all about comparables, right? Like, what are you looking at? What's fair? Who are the comparables here? I heard about a month ago that one of the comparables they were working with, and again, this is only a 5-year. This wouldn't be, well, maybe he ends up doing a 5-year deal. We'll see. But one of the comparables they were working with was Kaprel Kaprizov of the Minnesota Wild. That was one of them. Now, I'm sure there are many, and I'm sure that as, you know, Kyrou gets his deal and Stützle gets his deal, I'm sure Jim Neal is looking at this and just going, oh, like, seriously, like, we're almost at the finish line, and then this drops. This is a complicated one. This is a complicated one. I know there are players on the Dallas Stars that have reached out. I mean, this is standard. that have reached out to Jason Robertson. Hey, man, we're real close. We got a real good team. It's a competitive division, competitive conference. You know, we got to do this. Come on, man. Let's get this done. My podcast wife, Elliot, seems to think that, you know, it's going to be a saw off 3 years, $7.5 million. That's my work spouse thinks. I could see that. I think the Robertson camp might want something a little bit longer, but you know, every day that goes by, you know, you kind of wonder, you know, what's the holdup, and maybe more importantly, you know, what's the decimal point that both sides are working with, and make no mistake, like if this is really long winded. I apologize.
Oh no, the floor's yours, buddy.
If you're new to me, get used to it. So I suck all the oxygen out of the room here. The interesting thing about this is, if it goes higher than 7.5, Jim Knoll's going to have to make a move. Mm-hmm. Like there's going to have to be bodies going. I think they have room to accommodate 7 or maybe 7.5. If there's more sugar in that coffee than 7.5, I think you know the Stars are going to have to make a move here to free up the cap space to make it happen. Now that might just be as simple as you find someone to take Anton Hudobin, mm-hmm. and you add a sweetener with it. That could be it. You have to do something more substantial than that. I don't know, but this one is poised to be a whopper of a contract.
And as a goalie, so far what I've noticed with Hudobin, he doesn't look great so far. I know it's preseason hockey, but yeah. I don't know.
You know what the one thing is though, Tyler, is he's healthy.
That's true.
That's like the one hurdle. Like I know he's not exactly like this guy's not 22 years old.
Right.
I know he's you know not just on the back nine, but he can see the clubhouse with the career here. So I get it. But the one thing that Dallas does have working in their advantage if they want to move Hudobin is he's healthy.
Right. He's finally healthy. All right. So we got some storylines going in the season. Obviously, we got the big whopper, and thank God he's finally going to leave. Hopefully, the Central Division, Patrick Kane. I hope he doesn't somehow end up in Dallas. But
that's a swerve.
Yeah, I know. You never know. They've had the trade history with Patrick Sharp and all that stuff. So it's
true.
I don't know. But where do you think Patrick Kane goes? And do you think he resigns there if he does get traded? And I keep hearing it's going to be at the deadline just because it cuts his contract in half and it makes it easier to move.
I think. Well, first of all, Edmonton was very interested in the offseason. Like Edmonton, and to make a deal like that happen, it would have been, you know, Hawks retaining half and then another team involved to take a piece of the contract to make it work with the salary cap. And that might be what we're looking at right now, regardless with any Patrick Kane deal. Because let's not forget, I mean, he's only going to go to a team that's competitive. He's only going to go to a team that has a shot at the Stanley Cup. And, you know, most, if not all of those teams are capped out. So making the money work is going to be a challenge there. If I just wanted to give you a flippant, you know, glib kind of answer, I'd say Colorado, but really the real answer is it depends on who's good and it depends on when Patrick Kane wants to go. Like Patrick Kane doesn't have to go at all. I think he probably will end up. I think we're all on the same page that Patrick Kane's going to have a different zip code by the time trade deadline is come and gone. But I think what Patrick Kane is going to do is, you know, take the better part of the season and figure out who's good and who's got a shot. Yeah. I mean, why make your call now? Like if you're thinking of going to a team like, I don't know, let's say the Boston Bruins, for example, you think like, hey, and Chicago likes the offer and you can make it work. And the thoughts of playing with, you know, either Patrice Bergeron or David Krejci are attractive. To Patrick Kane, you know, what if the wheels fall off the wagon? Like that's a fragile team right now by way of injuries. Like we all know, you know, the hospital bracelet story is the story with the Boston Bruins to kick off this season. You know, what if that doesn't work out for the Boston Bruins? And Pat Kane's already said, yeah, I'm going and I'll go to the Boston Bruins. I think he takes his time.
Yeah.
I think he takes his time. I think he reads the landscape and says, okay, this team is good. This is where I fit. This is my spot. You know, Kyle, this is where I want to go.
Yeah, it seems like it's him and Taze, one of them almost is going to end up on the Avalanche. I don't know why. I just feel like with losing Kadri you know.
So I talked to someone who's really, really plugged into this one last season. And his thought was, and I agree with him, at trade deadline last season, when it became obvious that like, look, man, Chicago is going to have to readjust everything. there were two deals that made sense to him. One was when it became obvious that Claude Giroux was only going to go to Philadelphia. That was going to be his thought was Kane to Colorado and Jonathan Toews to Boston, because they were scrambling for that second line center hole. Right. David Krejci had already left. Now, of course, he's come back. And then Jonathan Toews could just go to Boston, where he wouldn't have to be anything but a hockey player. Like, you guys know this feeling, right? Like, when you're Jonathan Toews, captain of the Chicago Blackhawks, there's a whole lot of, you know, responsible for the young kids and shepherd the team and all that kind of stuff. You play second behind Patrice Bergeron, you can just go there and be a hockey player. And all that pressure is off. And, you know, if you're, you know, you know, if you're the Boston Bruins, you hope you have a run with someone like Jonathan Toews in lineup. Neither thing happened, but just sort of lob these, you know, flavor pucks and ideas out to your listeners.
It's amazing what happens when Bruce Cassidy left Boston. All of a sudden, Krejci's back, and DeBrusk pulls his trade
funny
request.
How that works out.
Funny how that works, huh?
Yeah, listen, it was. There's been a lot of people that have wondered too. You know, would Nick Lidstrom have retired if Mike Babcock hadn't been coaching at that point too? Huh. Right? I mean, you never really know. No player is really going to admit it, but that's one of the things that's out there.
We love what ifs on this podcast. Kessler, you got a good what if for him.
Yeah, I do. So as mentioned, what if? Yeah. So my what if, so I'm a Penguins fan as mentioned, right? So there were some tough years during my early years. We had a year where Dick Tarnstrom was our highest scoring player.
Yeah.
One of the best days, obviously, of my life was when we won the Crosby lottery. That was a tough day for your friend, Brian Burke, but I mean, he finally got Crosby.
He
got Crosby in a way. So there's a scenario where Crosby goes to the Ducks. Is that the biggest? Do you think that's the biggest what if in hockey history? If it's not, do you have any others that come to mind?
As far as what ifs,
yeah.
Ooh, wow.
The Penguins might not even be around.
The Penguins might not be around. Like, that's for sure.
You know, any of them around a draft. I mean, I'll give you another one. As far as the Pittsburgh Penguins, like when Mario Lemieux was, you know, listen, he was going to be the number one pick all day long coming out of the Quebec League. There were teams that offered a lot. The Minnesota North Stars offered every single pick. The Quebec Nordiques offered all three Stastny brothers plus
That's
for Mario. Crazy. Like, there were, like, I love draft trade offer stories. Like, those to me are the juiciest. I think that Mario one, because I think the Quebec deal really, because I know Montreal made an offer as well. I mean, it's Mario Lemieux. And then I think when they found out that Quebec made that sizable offer, all of a sudden they sweetened their deal as well. Don't forget, you know, Mario Lemieux wasn't going to go to the Penguins. Right. Like, I mean, it worked out great and he saved the franchise twice.
Yeah.
But at the draft, there was all that talk that you know, Mario saying, like, I'm not going to play for Pittsburgh. I want to play in Quebec. And there was that huge race. Mm-hmm. Right. There was the Quebec Nordiques and the Montreal Canadiens, you know, just piling on Eddie Johnson, like adding value to any trade. And the Pittsburgh Penguins, EJ, just, you know, said, no, forget it. We're going to hang on to this guy. And it was the right move. That would be the big one that would come to me. I always wonder what would have happened if the Eric Lindros trade didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And he ended up playing in Quebec.
Crazy how good that team ended up too.
Well, and here's the other one that I would have loved. You know, for the longest time, like, I grew up, you know, in the 70s and 80s era, and, you know, the slander against Swedish hockey players was huge, right? Chicken Swede, you know, Harold Ballard used to say about Inga Hammerström on the Toronto Maple Leafs, he could go into the corner with eggs in his pockets and come out and not one of them would be broken. Like, there was just like nonstop, like, ridicule of Swedish hockey. Oh, they're too soft to play. And then with Peter Forsberg, I mean, it's funny because he's part of the Eric Lindros, you know, we think about what Lindros was. You could make the argument that the best power forward in the game was a Swede in Peter Forsberg. And how that would have changed the Philadelphia Flyers.
Right.
Would they have ended up winning Stanley Cups with Peter Forsberg in the lineup and not Eric Lindros? You know, or if the arbitrator would have awarded Lindros to the New York Rangers instead of the Philadelphia Flyers. I mean, I'm in love with the alternate. I mean, I'm glad you asked this question because I'm in love with the alternative NHL, like this other stream, yeah. You know, trades that go a different way. Like, if Patrick Waugh doesn't get lit up against the Detroit Red Wings, if they actually give him the hook, like, it's so much. It's funny because we mentioned Patrick Waugh before. Like, or do the Colorado Avalanche ever win the Stanley Cup if they don't leave Patrick Waugh in that game against the Detroit Red Wings? Like, if they give him the hook after four goals, like, did the Avalanche ever win? Because that was the final piece, and they weren't winning with the goaltenders they had. Like, there's not a chance. You know, what happens with the Colorado Avalanche, which is why I always say this at the beginning of every season. And I know we're going to do predictions later. My answer to all of them is I don't know, because I really don't. But, you know, like, there's so much of the game, either around the game or in the game itself, that we don't like to talk about because we have no way of quantifying it. And that's just luck, man.
A lot of luck.
So much of this just revolves around luck. Like, the game itself, like, it's cold water and it's a rubber puck and it's, you know, it's 10 bodies out there and two goaltenders. I will share one thing with you. There's kind of a white whale that I have in my career, and I haven't been able to figure out what it meant. And no one that I've talked to, and this includes Berkey, who was freaking there for it. So if you go back and you watch the video of the Pittsburgh Penguins, you know, winning the lottery, they're going to get Sidney Crosby. The Anaheim Ducks will select second. And as we know, they took Bobby Ryan. Bill Wirtz, the late owner of the Chicago Blackhawks, you can hear him because they're all there in the room, right? You can hear Bill Wirtz over and over again saying, "Justice, justice." And I've talked to, I've had long conversations with, like, Ron McLean about this. Ron, I have talked about, you know, the Bill Wirtz, you know, justice phenomenon. No one knows what he was saying. Now, Bill's no longer with us,
right?
But no one that I've talked to in the Blackhawks organization has been able to tell me with any type of authority what Bill Wirtz was thinking. I thought maybe he, it wasn't justice he was saying. He just ordered a scotch and he's trying to say just ice. I don't know. But that to me is one of my big white whales coming off of that draft specifically. Why was Bill Wirtz yelling justice, justice, justice when the Blackhawks won the lottery over the Anaheim Ducks? Don't know.
I've got a little follow up. What if, I guess, I just thought of.
Okay.
What if, I feel like I've said this before too, I think it helps out three franchises. What if John Tavares accepts the San Jose Sharks offer?
So that was been in a little bit of dispute too, but that is an interesting one. Well, then, do the Toronto Maple Leafs ever trade Nazem Kadri?
Maybe not. I think they might have Petro. Just the timing. Like, there's, you know what I mean? Like, there's,
yeah,
there's how that works out. But they would, their cap situation might be a little bit different. They might have that number one defense. The Sharks.
Yeah.
I will say this. I like watching Erik Karlsson when he isn't hurt. He is a lot better than people give him credit for in the numbers. And obviously he has had his, you know, worst season of his career as a Sharks fan. But if John Tavares is a San Jose Shark, that window, the last few years of Marlowe and Thornton, and they're arguably, in my opinion, their best team when they lost to the Blues in the conference final. If they have John Tavares, I think they might win the cup there. But that's one that always comes to my mind. That's why he gets booed when he goes to San Jose. That one will hurt me for a while, especially given the contract situation. What if he
would have said yes to the Islanders?
That's another one. You know, the Islanders might be, you know, they've just struggled to really score and since he's left, right? And just a lot of, I think a big one too that we could go all day, but the three Boston Bruins picks in 2015.
Because who was after?
Thomas
Chabot and Matthew Barzal. Like,
can you imagine they got all three of those?
Or, you know what? Okay, let's do another one.
Yeah, here we go.
So here's the one. As everybody points to, you know, the downfall of the Edmonton Oilers before Connor McDavid. And they point to the Taylor Hall, Adam Larson trade, right? The one for one. Mm-hmm. I don't think that trade was that bad. Like, it wasn't great. Taylor Hall goes on to win the a Hart MVP, Trophy. And, yeah, he's fantastic for the New Jersey Devils. But to me, the trade that really killed the Oilers was the Griffin Reinhart for 16 and 33.
It's
like, that was one. And, you know, I've talked to a number of people in Edmonton, in the organization. I said, if you would have hung on to those two picks, who were you taking 16? And they said, Joel Eriksson-Ek. Joel Eriksson-Ek was going to be their guy. That's... Now, again, go back to the what if. Hmm. What if they don't make this? Because I think that's the one that really hurt them more than any other deal in that era. I think if they don't make that trade.
If I think the Oilers, even after the McDavid, ever since McDavid, if they didn't have a general, like pretend they just coasted, like auto, like didn't make any moves, like that, it's tough. Like they seem to shoot themselves in the foot and go backwards with two of the best players in the world. Speaking of best, among the best players in the world, I am from just outside Toronto, and you obviously cover the Leafs pretty much every day. something that we talk a lot about with our audience, and we've brought up a few times, is Austin Matthews and the looming contract situation with Austin Matthews, because it's coming. Do you sense, as of right now, so this is October 4th, 2022. Yeah, do you sense that there is any shot that Austin Matthews does not remain a Toronto Maple Leaf, a percentage?
I think he remains a Toronto Maple Leaf, but not for as long as Maple Leafs fans want. I think he signs an extension with Toronto, but I don't think it's going to be one of these 7 or 8 year deals. I think it's going to be a shorter deal where Maple Leafs fans will go, yeah, we got him.
Okay.
But are we going to have to do all this over again? I think that, you know, his agent, Judd Moldaver with Wasserman, is a really, really sharp guy. Right. And he really reads this landscape well, I believe. Like, he did a great job with the Roman Josi contract. That was fantastic. The Austin Matthews deal is a real nice bit of business. How he got Matthews, you know, at 5 years for that decimal point. It's a really good deal. I think he gets Matthews a big ticket. I think it's a big ticket deal, but it's not the length that Maple Leafs fans would want.
13 for
and three. I think, you know, not that it's, I mean, listen, everyone's competitive, right? Awesome. Nathan MacKinnon is now the highest paid player by way of AAV in the NHL. Not that I'm putting too much on this here, but, you know, he's represented by Pat Brisson. You know, I think there's that agent rivalry that we don't ever. It's funny. We never really talk about agent rivalry.
No, we don't.
Contracts, but, you know, Judd and Pat here, like, make no mistake about it. Like, there is, that thing does exist in the industry. And if you have a chance to be on top of an industry rival, I think you do it. I think that Matthews ends up the highest paid player in the NHL. It's funny, one person I was talking to was an assistant general manager a couple of days ago about Matthews, and I said, I think the number is going to be like 14, and he goes, we've been talking here about 15 for Austin Matthews.
Wow.
Oh my goodness.
So who knows where this one's going, boys.
I still feel like if he doesn't go home to Arizona, and trust me, I understand there's something that came out tonight I saw in the Twitter sphere where I guess the players are not too pleased with the arena, and I mean, it makes sense. You know, I mean, I skate with a few NHLers during the summertime and they all make fun of it and they can't believe they're gonna have to play there. I get it.
Yeah.
But the LA Kings with Kopitar ending in 2 years, it lines up perfectly. If he wanted to go to LA, Hollywood, I don't know if he wants to, you know, play there or not, but it just, there's a lot of rumblings about LA always. And I feel like it makes a lot of sense.
The only fly in that ointment that I would throw your way is when that happens, the Maple Leafs will still have more cap space.
That's true.
To absorb a larger deal than the Los Angeles Kings. Don't forget, like, Rob Blake's added some tickets here.
Yeah. Fiala. Right?
Keep going. Like, there's a couple more. So, like, they still have some beauty decimal points there. So Maple Leafs will technically still have, like, again, like, who knows? We're talking about something happening, you know, deeper in the future here. But
right,
you know, Toronto will still have, you know, the more cap space than Los Angeles will to bring them in.
True.
All right, let's get into our award predictions. Okay.
Oh, geez. I haven't done my award predictions for sports yet, so I got to remember what I say here, so I'm consistent.
Perfect,
I'm just gonna fly off the handle.
I think Sportsman might have a few more eyeballs on them.
Yeah, well.
You don't have anything to worry about.
Not for long.
All right.
Yeah. All right, in my opinion, I think this. We mentioned this off before we started recording. I think this might be the most chalk year for a lot of the awards. So we'll hear yours, and if we've all said the same one, like to hear maybe if that person doesn't win. So we'll start first. Art Ross, who do you got?
Connor McDavid. Shocker.
We all said Connor McDavid. Yeah.
Now, hang on. If I wanted the hot take this thing, I'd say Cale Makar. But
you think that that's in the realm, like to score.
I think he's in the conversation, man. I think he's right in there. This guy is. But I've always said that. I shouldn't say always. I've said this recently about Cale Makar. If Connor McDavid were a defenseman, he'd be Cale Makar.
Yeah.
Like, that's how highly I think of Cale Makar. Peak. Now, having said that, I think it'll be between Dreisaitl and Connor again.
Okay. The Hart. Who do you got for the Hart?
Last time I took Igor Shesterkin, I think it should always go to a goaltender. Because by definition of the trophy itself, like, how does it not go to a goalie?
There we go, yes, goalies.
I can hear you smiling there, Tyler. I know you're going to pop up on that one. Every goalie is more important than anybody else on the roster. I'll take Safe Smooth. Oh, no, you know what? No, I'll take Cale Makar.
Okay, we are a little bit different on that. Kezo and Tyler, they had McDavid, and I went with Shesterkin. I think that even how good he was, I think he should have won it this year, just given how the Rangers played. You know, like, I think that
first half, the Rangers just let him hung him out to dry.
You look at Georgiev's numbers, like, you know,
I know,
and it's jarring for anyone that isn't a diehard Ranger fan. If you just go and look, like, it is pretty crazy. Rocket Richard,
Austin Matthews.
We are all across the board on Matthews. Yes, that one,
I think it's Matthews. Yeah,
if it's not Matthews, who you got?
I really want it to be Patrick Laine, but it's not. I just love Patrick. I just love Patrick Laine. I can't see it being him, though. You want me to hot take it?
Let's go.
Andrei Svechnikov.
Okay. Ooh. Okay. I was gonna say Kaprizov. I think he might be in the
rubber. It's gonna happen 1 year for him, right?
Yeah, man.
I wanna see Ovi win one more. That's all.
I do. It could be. I just wonder if he's going to have the centers to do it.
Right.
Yeah, that's the only thing. And that's the only, I mean, I still think he gets the Gretzky record too, mm-hmm. but I just want, I mean, with, you know, Backstrom's health situation, I mean, he's been feeding them just feed for all these years. That's the only thing that I wonder about. But like many, it's like, it's one of the, you know, it's like, we always talk about hockey joy, watching that guy score. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The next up is the Norris, and I said this earlier when you hopped on. This is Makar's until he decides that he is not playing anymore, essentially.
So in 1967, okay, mm-hmm. 1967
year for the Leafs.
It was the last good year for the Leafs. Matter of fact, 1967, they awarded the Norris Trophy to Harry Howell, who had never won the Norris Trophy before. Harry Howell was a really good defenseman. But, you know, there's a lot of good defensemen that ended up winning the Norris Trophy and just not him. You know why they gave it to Harry Howell? This is the theory. They gave it to Harry Howell because they knew it was going to be his last chance ever to win it, because Bob Uecker was going to dominate it for like 10 years. And so they gave it to Harry. I was like, Harry, enjoy, because Bob Uecker is taking this now, like, for the next 10 years. Yeah, Cale Makar.
I think they need They need a defensive. If there was ever a time in the history of sports and media and how much we, you know, have influence, like, I just feel like now is the time, given what's going to happen with Cale Makar, that defensive defenseman trophy should be a thing. You know.
You know why I like that. Here's why I like that idea a lot, and here's why. Because what's the most underrepresented player in the Hockey Hall of Fame?
The most type of player or player
specifically? Yeah, type of player.
Oh, defensive defenseman. Like the guys that the rock solid.
That's why I was happy to see Kevin Lowe get in.
I watched, you know, Mark Edward Vlasic, and you would never hear his name for an entire season. And there is a reason why he was on Team Canada's roster and everyone was stunned about it.
Hey, but don't forget about Barrett Jackman winning the Calder over Rick Nash and Henrik Zetterberg.
Barrett
Jackman is meat and potatoes. Have you ever seen him on the back end? I love Jax.
And that guy was raw bone tough too, man. I loved Barrett Jackman. But no, like the defensive defenseman is like so underrepresented in the Hockey Hall of Fame. Like
who would win it this year?
Langway's in. Jacob Slavin.
I was about to say it's Slavin. I feel like Slavin is Slavin. Classic.
But you know what? I'll tell you what. You know who would be in the Hall of Fame if they recognize that? Adam Foote. Adam Foote would be in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But those guys, they don't get the credit. That's why, I mean, as I mentioned off the top, that's why I was happy that Kevin Lowe got in. Because finally, I was like, oh, okay. So let's a little bit of a nod towards a defensive defenseman.
So much like the Norris, I'm wondering, I'm curious if you have the same sentiment here. The Vezina, is this
okay? I mean,
for a while.
I think so. But here's what I wonder about. What about Ilya Sorokin?
Yeah,
it's funny because he was. Like, he I know. I hype for a little.
I
while.
Know. I know it's a little bit hipster. Mm-hmm. Right, to go with Sorokin as like it's a Shesterkin universe right now, to say nothing of maybe a Vasilevsky universe right now. But like Tyler's nodding, and I'll defer to the goaltender here on the panel. Like, what do you think about Sorokin for the goalie of the year?
I love Sorokin, and we did our predictions a few weeks ago back. We had a few episodes ago, and I'm high on the Islanders. I'm not like saying they're going to win the division, but last year was starting out on the road, you know, with the arena situation. And then they had the worst, I think, situation with COVID when it comes to, you know, getting kind of screwed over. I mean, Sorokin is so good in that team, the system they play. I think they're going to be a little bit more offensive, obviously, with Lambert in there. And I don't know. I feel like he's like highly underrated just because I feel like anybody that plays in the Islanders is underrated. It's just like that. It's a second, it's like the ugly, you know, stepsister or whatever you call it, like for New York teams. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like Sorokin here as a hipster pick. I mean, listen, there's, you know, the thing about sports is it lives in this weird place between what your head knows but your heart feels. Like, my head knows Shesterkin's going to win this thing, but my heart's like, yeah, go hipster pick. Yeah. Take Sorokin, be that guy, right? Be that guy at the coffee shop. Well, actually, if you've seen the goaltender, be that guy and take Sorokin.
That was what I was telling the guys earlier. I was like, I would love to see Saros win it because I'm a small goalie myself, and I love UC Saros.
the thing about, it's funny, I was having a conversation with someone, was it last year, maybe the year before, a goalie coach from a team, and I was asking about, you know, teams always defaulting to large goaltenders. And, you know, is there a size that's too big to be effective? And the thing about big goalies versus small goalies, and he was a big, and it's not Nashville, but he was a big Saros guy. He's like, here's the thing that I love about Saros. You know, Tyler, you'll get this right away. He goes, with big goaltenders, you can always count on a few accidental saves. Mm-hmm. Saves that are made just because the guy's big.
Sounds like a video game.
Right? Like, yeah. How'd he stop that? He doesn't even know. It was an accident. He's just big. He just happened to be there. So the thing about Saros is, like, all those saves are, like, real saves. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. There's no accidental saves at all. Like, those are all legit saves, man. Not just, like, he was big and so he blocked that. Like, no, man, the Saros saves are saves, man. I'm with you. I'd love to see Saros with it. I love it, too. I know that, you know, we talk about the embarrassment of riches, like with the Rangers going from, like, Richter to Lundqvist to Shesterkin. But look what Nashville's done. Freaking Pecorine to UC Saros.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
That's pretty good, too.
No, you're right on that one. Listen, Calder next. I feel like this one's a little bit more wide open.
Here's who I want to win it. Mason McTavish.
Okay.
I love this kid for a number of reasons. One, he's an outstanding hockey player. But two, you look at where this kid's played in the last couple of years. Has he spent a night at home? And moreover, where does he consider home?
Yep.
Like, he has been all over playing with so many different teams. Like, you got to wonder, like, do you just completely feel like ungrounded? Mm-hmm. Like, you go to all these different tournaments, playing for different teams, traded in the OHL, bouncing around everyone, and I love them. Mm-hmm. Like, I think long-term, you look at the Anaheim Ducks, and I know everyone's, you know, crazy about Trevor Zegras, and for good reason, like super high skill. I think Zegras ends up the number two center. I think Mason McTavish ends up as your, you know, we look for the replacement for Ryan Getzlaff. I think that's Mason McTavish. I think long-term, Mason McTavish is your number one, and Trevor Zegras is your number two. I love this kid. I know everyone's given this thing to Owen Power, Cole Caulfield, etc. I don't know, man. I'm pulling for Mason McTavish.
Feel real Zetterberg Datsyuk vibes potentially. Like, that was a lofty shoot between Zegras and McTavish.
The only difference is when you look at Zetterberg and you look at Datsyuk, this was always a luxury that Mike Babcock had. Like, think about this. When your best offensive players are also your best defensive players, how do you lose a matchup?
Yeah,
I don't know that we're saying that about with all due respect, I don't know that we're saying that about Zegras. Maybe Mason McTavish, but I just don't know that we're saying that about Zegras. Mm-hmm. But like Zetterberg, both those guys are two of my favorites. Like, mm-hmm. good. How do you lose a matchup?
No, you're right.
It's impossible when you have guys like that.
They had power. I had Beniers. I've had a hot take as a Sharks.
I can do Matty Beniers too.
You gotta have the opportunity
on that one. Right, yeah.
Like that's big, right? The thing
about Owen Power, I think it'll be tough to give it.
You gotta put up a lot. Sider just did, but
yeah, the defenseman winning the Calder in back to back seasons. That's real tough. I'm not saying you can't do it. And he looks real good, no doubt about it. I just don't know about a defenseman winning it 2 years in a row. Could be wrong. Happy to be wrong. Like I grew up in Southwestern Ontario watching, like I was in the era where, you know, you only got, you know, a couple of games a week to watch on television. Mm-hmm. Saturday was Hockey Night in Canada and that was Maple Leafs. And you saw one other Maple Leaf game during the week, but I watch a ton of Buffalo Sabres games. I've always had a real soft spot in my heart. Well, you know, St. Sabres, Cap, right?
Yeah, I love the you're Sabres,
right,
man.
You're right there, the Swords. Yeah. You probably went to the old odd like I used to. So, you know, I grew up in the era of the French Connection and Larry Playfair and King Kong Korab and Mike Robitaille and these dudes. And
I was more Drury and Pekka, but...
No, I get it. I'm aging myself. And you're like, well, what about like Danny Briere? Yeah,
those are the Sabres I think about.
those guys were great too. I really wish they were a fun team to watch, eh?
Best cap era team because they had no cap. Like they had no budget. Like it was just...
Okay, where were you when Brian Campbell just destroyed RJ Umberger?
That one I was actually watching. I had seen season tickets that year. I was watching that one on TV. That's one of the most memorable that season.
Oh,
like the Andrew Peters and Ray Emery, that team had so much. Like, just I always
that team was
to,
fun. That, and you know who was the sneakiest dirtiest player maybe in the league who had like the Eddie Haskell smile? The whole Danny Briere.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There was no one dirtier at faceoffs. Like how many times you see Danny Briere like choke up on the stick and smack a guy in the cheek, like on the pivot. He come out of it and he's got that like smiling face, like you know.
And he looks like he's
like in his late 20s and looks like he's like 11 teen. He looks like he's not even a teenager at that point. He was so, and it's a compliment.
You mix in Maxim Afenaganov, man, like that. Oh god, I love.
He was so much fun to watch.
Yeah, I love the Sabres. Kessel, you take the next ones.
Yeah, so we have the, and I don't like this award. I'm going to preface that the Jack Adams, okay? Because to me, this award's always which team was supposed to be bad,
yes,
overperformed, and let's give it to somebody. So who do you have for the Jack Adams?
This is the PDO award, right? This is the high shooting percentage, save percentage, or this is, you know, the old saying, show me a good goalie and I'll show you a good coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, those two positions are always nailed. I'm with you. I mean, it's the easy story. So you think when Bob Hartley won at Calgary, same thing. Patrick Waugh wins at Colorado, same thing. It's like make a bad team good, right?
Mm-hmm. I forgot Patrick Waugh won it.
Oh,
that's
first,
yeah, that's funny to think about.
That's insane to think about. That's insane to think about.
Well, and do you remember how he did it too? Like he came in from junior hockey playing Quebec Ramparts, and all of a sudden, I remember watching Avalanche games, and I'm like, is he playing? Is he playing like man on man defense in his own zone? Like, are we watching
pulling
junior
the goal
hockey
with
here?
6 minutes left.
Like, well, that was great too. But just
so
like,
I like that one actually.
Like stylistically, I'm like, I'm watching man on man coverage. Like, what? This is craziness. Anyway, you know, I still can't believe that John Cooper hasn't won this thing.
That's the worst part.
Like, I always say John Cooper, like if you can keep an elite team elite and
you're doing your job.
You're doing your job. Like when we all saw, like you got the team there and you've kept them there. Mm-hmm. Like this is a team that, you know, what's the old saying? If you're not hungry, you won't eat. Mm-hmm. This is a team that's already had the meal, but they're still hungry. Like we all saw the Stanley Cup final. We talk about no passengers, that team had no passengers. At all. Like going into every season, I always look at it and I say, John Cooper should win.
This could be
unless
the best
someone
chance.
Else pulls out. It might.
Considering the state of, you know, what you would consider the Lightning will still be great, but I don't think they lost a little bit of that shine.
I never want to write them off.
No, you can't.
I'm scared to write them off. Like I know, like I feel that too, But I'm not going to be the guy that says, yeah, you know what? They lost something on their fastball.
I feel bad for
because
the
then
Leafs.
They'll turn around
survived.
And rip off two more cups. They'll rip off two more cups. So I start, you know.
I like the moves they made. They made some sneaky good moves. I like Ian Cole in the back end in there.
Yeah.
I like this little sneaky moves like that. They're so smart.
Yep. Yeah. They got a smart. Listen, that is a very smart organization. Their drafting is, their scouting is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I know they like, I know some of the scouts, they hate it when you scotch all the picks, but you know, they've turned them into players. You got to hand it to Julien Brisebois here. He's done a great job. And I think, you know, going into every season, like I said, I say that John Cooper should win unless proven otherwise by someone else with a more impressive performance. But how has John Cooper not won this thing?
Yeah.
He's going to the Hall of Fame for crying
out loud.
He's
won at every level.
Adams.
Every level. NHL, USHL, AHL, NHL. The guy's a stud.
Yeah, he really is something. Yeah, he's great. Ah, lawyers turn coaches, eh? You know what's interesting, too? So I remember having a conversation with him on the podcast a few years ago and asked him, what's the best team he ever coached?
Can I guess?
Sure.
Was it the Norfolk or the Broad? I can't remember the time, but with like because that AHL team is unbelievable.
Oh, it wasn't the St. Louis Bandits, was it?
No, it was not St. Louis Bandits.
So then it had to be the Green Bay Gamblers.
No, it was not.
What? Oh, man, who was it then?
Team North America, team that didn't.
Oh yeah, I've heard you say this before. Colton Parayko told me that was the best team he ever played for too.
All those guys, and you know what they did? They didn't win anything. Mm-hmm. They didn't do anything. But if you look at, you know, the Hall of Fame like 15, 20 years from now, the whole team might be on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like when you go back, like we're gonna look at that team one day. You're gonna go back like Wiki and go like, holy shit! Like him and him all on the same team. Are you serious? Like,
no, absolutely.
It, like we always look at the, you know, you try to figure like who's the greatest team assembled, which team sent the most to the Hockey Hall of Fame. 1976 Team Canada at the 76 Canada Cup. I think they might have the most. I think in the NHL, was it the 97 Wings?
Oh yeah.
They may have sent a ton as well, but you know, you're going to look at Team North America one day and go, oh my God, mm-hmm. this is disgusting. Like, yeah. Hall of Fame, 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 Hall of Fame. Like, all these dudes, mm-hmm. Ridiculous.
Last,
that's what Coop said was his favorite top team.
last trophy, I think, Kezo.
Yeah. So the last one, we have the Selke. Who do we think is going to win that one this year?
I really want, if this is Patrice Bergeron's swan song, I want Patrice Bergeron to win one more. But you know, this is we're gonna go through a transition here, I think, because Selke, in a lot of ways, has kind of become a reputational trophy.
Yeah.
That once you're in the conversation, you're in it for a while. Like it took Ryan O'Reilly a while to get into that conversation, and he's just always been in it since. Took mm-hmm. Sean Couturier a while to get in that conversation. He's always been in it. There were some that should have been, but because they were wingers, were never ever considered. And I think of Marian Hossa right out of the gate.
Do you think wingers should have like a better chance at it?
I really think that I understand that the center's responsibilities are that much greater, and I get that, but to me, one of the great crimes of the last era is how Marian Hossa and maybe even Mikko Koivu as well finished their career without a Selke trophy.
Mikko Koivu, oh my goodness.
Was so good. Yeah, he was such a great two-way player.
Yep.
The funny thing is, like, the Selke trophy was essentially created for a winger. It was like, man, Bob Gainey's good. We have to come up with some type of trophy for Bob Gainey. And like literally, that's how it happened. The trophy is created for a winger. The last guy to win it would have been Yuri Lehtinen.
Mark Stone has been knocking on the doors.
He has. Yeah. 100%. Make the argument. Might be the best two-way player in the game when he's healthy.
Hopefully his back holds up.
Yeah, no kidding. He got like a quarter size chunk taken out. Yeah. I think Elliot's seen the picture too. He said, yeah, it's gross. Stone wasn't going to put it up on his blog. But so, okay. I'm filibustering here. I think eventually Nico Hischier is going to get into this conversation.
Okay.
I don't know that Nico Hischier is going to win it this season.
Okay.
But I think Nico Hischier is going to get into this conversation. I think Anthony Cirelli. If I'm going to pick one, I'll take Anthony Cirelli, the Tampa Bay Lightning. But I wonder if this is the year, as we start to see New Jersey take that next step, people start to notice how good of a defensive center Nico Hischier is 5-on-5.
Watch that guy. All right. Well, we'll end it on this because, again, we've listened to you for for a while. We know, you know, you like the jersey talk a little bit. Okay. My Sharks have a new uniform.
I love it. I love. It's funny. I was just watching the game, the Germany game this evening, the highlights from it. Like, oh, this looks so good.
Okay. The aways are the second best behind the Leafs. I think the Leafs home or the Leafs aways, I think, are the, with the blue and the shine to it. I think that they are the best. Mm-hmm. I think their aways are the second best in the league. It's the teal pants. Like I think the uniform, I've always hated the orange in their jerseys. I think that their retro, the 2D with the silver that they've used over the last little while has been, I think that might be one of the best kits. But what are the jersey you're most excited to either become back, like the goat head from the Sabres, or what do you think is a jersey that you want to see more than anything back in the game?
So I loved the color scheme of the Minnesota North Stars.
Yeah,
that's a tough one too.
When the Wild use it as their third,
yep.
To me, it's just gorgeous.
It is.
I would love to see that back. I still maintain, and you know, if you've listened to me long enough, you've heard me go on about this before. I think the one color that is so underrepresented in hockey is green.
Mm-hmm.
That we don't see enough green at all. I mean, there was that race, like everyone had to have the black jersey. Everyone's got their blacks. Everyone's got blacks.
The Lightning's. When the Lightning played the Leafs, they're like 2010, like St. Louis, the Cavalier jerseys are so good. And man, they are, it is tough luck when you're watching an away game for the Leafs and it's like, you can't tell which one's which.
Even the Blues in my childhood had a black jersey. I remember at one point when they had the clown colored jerseys, and I'm praying. And Alex Steen told me this, the best jersey in hockey. I hope the Blues go back to the baby Blues they wore in the Winter Classic. They're so clean. They're so classic and
it's
simple.
It's funny too, because the Penguins early ones were baby blues, right? Like, and now they're all, you know, synchronized with the rest of the city of Pittsburgh. Everyone's
the
black and gold.
Ones,
but I love ones. Like you look at, I love the original Penguins jersey because I love the baby blue and I love the Penguin with the beer belly.
Yeah,
and then somehow the Penguin got kind of leaned out, like, you know, started to do like CrossFit and kettlebells and stuff, and got a little bit leaned out. Not as bad as Coco with the Hershey Bears, who used to be like this really plump bear, and then they like got him in the sauna with Chris Chelios, and now he like light matches off of Coco, the mascot. I'm like, that's not what bears look like. Like, bears don't do CrossFits. I guess that's what bears look like. Hershey, I want to see like a big chubby bear. Like, that's what a bear looks like. Greens for me, and speaking of the Maple Leafs, whenever they wear the St. Pat's, I love that one as well. I'll tell you what I like. You know what, your jersey, I've always dug this. The New York Rangers. I've always loved the Rangers color scheme. I love the simplicity of it, and I've loved the red pants. And you know what I finally got Doug McLean to admit to me? Because he was part of the design of everything with the Columbus Blue Jackets. The red pants was a total steal. The Rangers, the Columbus Blue Jackets, red pants. He's like, I just love it. One night we were out having a few drinks. I'm like, dude, you totally stole the red pants from the Rangers. Come on. He's like, yeah, I did.
And they said they're going
those red pants.
They said they're going blue pants this year too, but they haven't done it yet. I'm waiting for it on the road.
The reds are so good. But yeah, Rangers for me. And I love the Statue of Liberty logo. Beautiful.
Same.
Reminds me of Merrick Malik.
Yeah.
Merrick Malik.
Oh, that was that was a post-lockdown first year. Hey, that was the perfect moment.
Hey, before we let you go, me and Cam, we listen to the show every day. We call it with between us two the Merrickisms. And I hear you guys talk about on your bingo cards. You got some of the best phrases. I don't know where you can have them. The two bagel, the three car. I mean, you got all these different things. Where did you come up with this stuff? Like,
I have no idea. You know, it's funny. You know where I wonder. So I spent a lot of years working with a guy by the name of Bill Waters. Now, Bill Waters, it's funny. I just talked to him last week. Bill used to be the assistant general manager to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Before that, he worked with Allan Eagleson as a junior agent with Eagleson's group. You know, so he's part of 1972 in the Summit Series, part of various Canada Cups, World Championships, etc. He ran the Bobby Orr, Bill Watton sports camp, was a football player at University of Toronto, was a second overall pick in the CFL with the Toronto Argonauts. I'm like reading the bio here for Willie. Long time.
You could do that on
guy.
Anyone, by the way.
No, that's not true. No, you know what my secret is? Here's the secret, guys. You want to sound like you know what you're talking about?
I can't wait. I need to know how.
Don't tell anyone, okay? I won't. If you're not sure about something, say it loud.
Oh man, I feel like that's I've done that in my career, playing video games.
Yeah. Oh, he said it. He said it loud. He must really. Oh, okay. He knows. Oh, yeah. He knows what he's talking about. He said that loud. Anyway, so Bill's got like this old timey sort of verbiage about like all those guys have died off now. Like there used to be like a like sports talk that was like that, like all the time. And I think honestly, I think just working with Bill for so many years, some of that may have just rubbed off on me. And you picked up like old colloquialisms. Like I'll just slip every now and then. And Cliff Fletcher is still trying to keep this alive. Every time I talk to Cliff, they're not goalies or goalers. Like somewhere along the way, like that's the original name for goaltenders, yeah, right? Yeah, goalie was goaler. And I got to like, over here, like to my right here, I got a stack of old hockey news magazines from the 60s and 70s. And somewhere it changed from goaler to goalie and goaltender. I don't know what brought about this. We talk about like white whales and you're searching for things. Bill Wirtz, just ice, justice, justice. Here's like, when do we stop calling them goalers and start calling them goalies? Like, was there one event? Was there one thing? But they used to be, anyway. So all these things I've just picked up along the way. Like
I love it.
There's nothing to it. And a lot of it is too, like I'd read a ton of stuff about hockey history. Like that's a huge passion of mine for finding those demarcation points, like when something changed, why it changed, whether it's goalers, whether it's, you know, what happened to, you know, Rover and why Rover got taken out, why the Nets look the way they do, you know, why we went to the Art Ross puck from the original, like all these little goofy things like that. I think maybe just from reading old hockey books and, you know, my wife always says, yeah, this must have kept you single for a lot of years. And she was right. She was right. I was the man that women forgot for a lot of years. The reason you get me now like this.
I got to say, you are one of the most unique personalities in hockey. And, you know, you're an absolute blast to listen to. And I can't thank you enough for hopping on our podcast and talking hockey.
Hang on. Thanks for that. You know why? You read that exactly as I wrote it for you. Thanks so much for saying those really kind things. Just as I wrote it on the card, you read it perfectly. That's really kind. That's
it. All right, guys. Well, again, thank you for joining us, Jeff, and we hope to have you on again in the future.
Nice Ice Dogs hat. Great Warrior t-shirt, too. You really went all out for me today. That's nice.
That's it.
Hey, boys,
that's
be good.
Yep, thank you.
Yeah.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.